When John Bryant became an assistant United States Marshal tasked with collecting data for the 8th Census sometime in the spring of 1860, he probably counted himself lucky. It was a highly sought-after job for which dozens of men in each enumeration district applied, but only a few were selected. Each assistant marshal earned 2 cents per person counted, as well as 10 cents for every farm and 15 cents for each industrial establishment, such as a mill or ironworks. For the first time in the census's 80-year history, enumerators were paid for counting people who had died in the previous year, 2 cents each, the same as for those who still walked above ground. This supplemental income would increase a man's yearly earnings by at least $250, the minimum an enumerator in even the smallest district might receive. Perhaps Bryant was one of the judicious, temperate, reliable, intelligent, and active men the Census Bureau required for the job. Or maybe he was just someone's brother-in-law or nephew. Despite the stated qualifications, securing such a plum position was typically more a question of who you knew rather than what kind of man you were. Still, it was not a job for the disorganized, the dishonest, or the disabled. Not only did enumerators face stiff fines and jail time for falsifying or failing to complete their returns, the job itself required considerable physical stamina. Each dwelling, business, and person in the district had to be visited personally, either on horseback or on foot. One of Bryant's exhausted counterparts in Virginia reported that he had opened no fewer than 2,000 garden gates and gotten on and off his horse at least 50 to 60 times a day. The enumeration commenced in June 1860 and proceeded for 2 of the hottest months of the year. In their saddlebags, Bryant and the other assistant marshals stuffed their leather portfolios containing a portable inkwell and pen, blank copies of the awkwardly sized and cumbersome enumeration pages, which they were forbidden to fold, and the 36-page instruction manual that they were required to keep with them at all times. When poor roads or rough terrain did not permit a horse to go any farther, the enumerator would have to lug his pack to the next dwelling, however far it might be. Bryant's district, Nash County in northeastern North Carolina, like most of the state, was overwhelmingly rural, an unimproved, uncultivated, uncultured backwater, according to famed landscape architect Frederick Law Olmsted, who lamented its sad accommodations, transportation, food, and general living conditions in his 1853 travel narrative. After leaving the comparatively civilized capital of Raleigh, where hogs rooted in the pasture adjacent to the state house, Olmsted penned his observations on the housing he saw there. If he expected grand estates with gardens and lawns, or even tidy little farms with fields filled with crops, he was sorely disappointed. "I do not think I passed in 10 miles more than half a dozen homesteads, and of these but one was above the character of a cabin." At 38 years old, Bryant was relatively young and used to the physical labor of running a farm. He worked on his own, although he may have rented enslaved help from a slave owner occasionally if he could afford it. June and July were hot, but it was laying by time when his crops needed only weeding, something his wife, Jane, and 10-year-old daughter Susan could do while he was out on his rounds. Even his son John's 5-year-old hands could carry a bucket to slop the livestock. By the time he had counted 1,321 families, it was July 28th, and the instructions weighing down his horse reminded him that he needed to get the count completed and his tabulations to Washington in the next few weeks. He had no time to tarry, but family number 1,322 surely gave him pause. It belonged to Ricks Joyner, a 30-year-old farmer, and his 23-year-old wife, Annaliza. Ricks and Annaliza had 4 children, Morning, who was 5, Margaret, 4, Priscilla, 2, and Robert, 8 months. Bryant recorded these basic statistics in the first 2 columns of the census schedule. Bryant made no mark for Ricks, Annaliza, Morning, Margaret, and Robert in the 3rd column, the one reserved for the race of the household members. A blank space served as the default signifier for whiteness for all census enumerators at the time.